back to the landscape and big houses in the landscape. What do the following have in common? Ivy House on St. Stephen's Green, Lugalaw in Wicklow, Farm Lee in Phoenix Park, Ashford Castle in Mayo, Luttrellstown Castle in Dublin. All were at various points in Irish history owned by members of the Guinness Brewing Dynasty. Stately homes, country hideaways, townhouses, they amassed a vast property portfolio. And with the Netflix series House of Guinness stimulating interest in the family, historian Adrian Tinniswood has produced a very timely, very handsome book called The Houses of Guinness. See what he did there? I met Adrian in the grounds of Ashford Castle, inherited in the 1860s as a holiday home by Arthur Edward Guinness, who preferred to go by the name Lord Ardilaun. Ashford Castle, County Mayo, not what they said on Netflix.
We must begin work on all of these places we didn't know we had. We ask Anne to visit the properties, starting with the castle in Galway.
It was a hunting lodge. It was a country house. A country house that had fallen on bad times. It was not derelict, but it was not in a good state when the Guinnesses bought it in the 1850s. It was mortgaged up to the hilt. And then the Guinnesses came, and they just transformed it. They extended it. The story is that Lord Ardilaun, who's the Guinness who really did the work here, that he spent nearly £2 million on it.
Have you done the maths on that? Have you any idea how much we're talking about?
Maths are not my strong point, Philip, but we're talking hundreds of millions, of millions. But one thing that historians like me often forget, you know, having a lot of money is good fun. It's really good fun. And he had a lot of money.
I will pay your father's debts, and you will get an annual income of £10,000.
15. 12.
15 it is.
Arthur! In that case, proposal accepted.
Controversial statement. I've always thought that Ashford Castle was a little bit ridiculous, frankly, with all of its battlements and ramparts and castellation. This was a bit Disney before Walt Disney came along.
Well, what Lord Ardilaun said was, I have a taste for the picturesque.
The picturesque.
And he liked to add a tower here and there, you know, battlements. He just, it was a fantasy. It was a plaything. I mean, he never lived here particularly. Yeah. This is a guy, I said he's rich. He has an enormous mansion at Clontarf, St. Anne's. He's got a house on Leeson Street. He's got he and his wife have got Macross in Kerry. They've got Macroom in Cork. He's got a house on Carlton House Terrace in London. And he's got this place to play with. This is a toy for him.
What he made, though, was perhaps a little bit more grandiose than grand. Would that be fair? What does it say to us about what kind of person he was?
It says, I think, that he was socially ambitious. And it also says that his wife, Olivia, who we tend to forget, was very socially ambitious. I mean, she's the daughter of an earl. She's the daughter of the Earl of Bantry. And that meant that she had kind of plans for moving up the social scale.
Edward doesn't understand the complex nature of modern politics. He wants me to be elected to Parliament so I can help run the business.
He is concerned I might lose.
Edward, his name is Guinness and this is Dublin. Of course he won't lose.
Would they have been thought of as vulgar, as a little bit nouveau back then, or were they just doing what the establishment did with their money?
That's a tough one. I think that the marriage to an earl's daughter brought them into the kind of mainstream, brought them into high society. And also having such a colossal amount of money meant it was quite dangerous to call them nouveau riche.
<You know? laughs> A touch of less majeste about
it. Exactly.
But, you know, when he was ennobled, he chose his own name, Ardilaun. Ardilaun, yeah. High Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, that suggests to me that the fella had notions about himself.
Well, it's named after here as well, the High Island. You know, it's Ardilaun, and he's Lord Ardilaun of Ashford, he called himself. You know, so he got this sense. The guy has got, he's got 20-odd thousand acres of Galway and 4,000 acres of Mayo here. I mean, he's a major, major landowner.
Major landowner, yeah.
We were too weak to dig graves. And they gave us seed in the parish in 48, but we were so hungry, we cooked the seed, there's nothing left to plant. We had nothing left for rent.
So talk to me about the relationship between landlord and his tenants here. It's quite nuanced, isn't it?
It's nuanced and it's fraught as well, I think. You know, There were bad landlords, because this was a poor part of the world, of course it was. There were bad landlords, and there were good landlords, and there were landlords like Lord Ardilaun, who was somewhere in between. You know, he was firm but fair. He was a good landlord, in fact. He was, you know, he remitted his tenants' rents when times were hard. He paid something like £3,000 worth of meal and seed for them. But he was also, he didn't book any opposition at all.
Yeah, because when the Land League came along with its campaign of rent strikes, he had such deep pockets, he was able to resist it, wasn't he?
He was, and that really kind of annoyed the Land League, I think. You know, it didn't matter to him if he didn't get the rents. It really didn't. But you've got, I mean, the unrest around here. Viscount Mount Morris is murdered close to here. Lord Ardilaun's bailiff, two bailiffs were killed when they tried to evict some of his tenants. You know, there's violence here. George Moore, who was a guest after his own estates kind of came under threat from the Land League, he was a guest here, and he joked about how at breakfast he could hear explosions going off, and that's because Lord Ardilaun's workers were digging a moat. Lord Ardilaun said that he would put cannon on the bridge here, and of course it was a joke, but there were death threats.
So maybe all of these ridiculous battlements and castellation does actually reflect something of a mindset, a siege mentality.
That's a really interesting point, because certainly you can see in England in the early 19th century a lot of castles being built as industrial unrest is growing. And they're not really defensive structures. Like, this isn't really a defensive structure, no. But it's expressing a state of mind, maybe.
Now is the time for us seniors to use that weakness and free Ireland from the English!
What did you make of the Netflix series? Did it offend you as an historian, or were you able to enter into the spirit of it?
It started off offending me. Historians are cursed, you know, with historical dramas like that, saying, oh, that didn't really happen, it wasn't like that. It's like, you know, Benjamin Lee's funeral, you know, the Fenian riot, which is ridiculous. But the trouble is, as you watched it, I got drawn in. I mean, it's terrible history, but it's really good TV.
I think, in fairness to it, does it not say from the very beginning, look, we're history adjacent here?
It's fiction inspired by true events, I think they say, which is fine, except that the viewer goes away not knowing which is which.
It inspired me to pick up your book and learn a little bit more. So
In that case, it succeeded.
I was just going to say, it would be a little bit rude of you to be offended by it.
Absolutely right. Now I'm just grateful, right?
You can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is where Joe at the front door told me Lord Ardilaun would sit and read his papers in this little snug.
If it's not true, it ought to be. But
is it not?
I don't know.
But looking out over that view, you can see why the fella had notions, can't you?
Absolutely. There is a joy in owning and building, which I think is exciting, and which, to be honest, we often forget. So Desmond Guinness, who, you know, almost single-handedly started the Irish conservation movement, I mean, he was one of the first to say, don't regard these things as symbols of colonial oppression. Regard them as things of beauty. You know, as the French did after the French Revolution with Versailles, as the Russians did after the Russian Revolution with Katrinburg. You know, places like these are astonishing monuments. They're monuments to a privileged life. They're monuments to a wealthy life. But they are monuments. They're part of Ireland's history. And without them, Ireland would be a greyer place.
Adrian Tinniswood there. I learned an awful lot from that man on that day in Ashford Castle. The Houses of Guinness by Adrian Tinniswood. It really is a lovely, very, very well produced book. And also a useful fact check to the Netflix series, House of Guinness.